This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions.
We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now. Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast where we discuss cutting-edge science, the wisdom of the ages, the lessons from pop culture, and our own experiences about how to be happier. This week, we'll talk about why you should give your memory a break, and we'll ask the question, what kind of procrastinator are you? I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and the five senses. I am back in my little home office here in New York City, and joining me today from LA is my sister, the dog lover, Elizabeth Kraft.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And Gretch, speaking of LA, you know, I love Fryman Canyon, and I just went hiking on Fryman Canyon. So if I look sweaty to anybody watching on YouTube, yeah. Apologies, but you know, I had to get in my steps and here I am post-workout.
Well, this is the thing. Now that we have YouTube, we're like keeping it real a little bit. There's that old joke about having a face for radio. And that was always an advantage with podcasting, but now we're on YouTube.
Yes, I did put on lip gloss. So there's that.
There's that. Before we launch in, the fifth anniversary of my book, The Four Tendencies, is coming up in September, and we're going to do some episodes going even deeper than usual into The Four Tendencies. So if you have not taken the quiz to find out if you're an upholder, a questioner, an obliger, or a rebel, go ahead and take the quiz. You can go to GretchenRubin.com/four tendencies, F-O-U-R, tendencies, or really you can just Google Gretchen Rubin quiz and you'll find it. Also, you might want to go ahead and read the book because what I find is, because we'll be talking about it, and when you take the quiz, you find out your own tendency. But what people often find just as valuable or maybe more valuable is getting insight into other people's tendencies, whether that's your boss or your coworker or a sweetheart or a child or a client or a student. A lot of times, understanding someone else's tendency is just as helpful.
For sure.
Also, last week, we had our very special episode that was all about our hacks and listeners' hacks, tips, ideas for how to get happier at work for the upcoming hashtag Happier Labor Day. Every year, we talk about using the American holiday of Labor Day as a day to think about our own labor, our own work, and how to make our work lives happier. Alyssa, so often we talk about looking for catalysts for reflection because it's so easy just to forget to step back in our everyday lives and ask ourselves these big questions. So Happier Labor Day is on the calendar of catalysts, catalysts for reflection. And if you want the calendar of catalysts, you can get the free PDF by going to happiercast.com/catalysts. And if you have more ideas for catalysts, send them my way because I love a great catalyst for reflection.
Yes, Gretchen, I have been thinking about my happier Labor Day, so I will have thoughts to share.
Right. You're at a transition point right now, so it's particularly helpful. Yes. So this week, our Try This at Home tip is to give your memory a break.
Yeah. So explain what this means, Gretchen.
Well, Elizabeth, actually, you inspired this because a while back, you were talking about how you had so much going on that you made a couple of big mistakes in your schedule. Usually you can keep it all in your head, but you had so much going on. A season two of Fantasy Island was just taking everything you had. You kind of created some problems for yourself because you agreed to things that you couldn't do. And once you start something like that, it's very hard to unwind it. And we've all done it.
Yes.
And so you were saying how you thought that you were going to have to start using an actual calendar, which you really don't do. You really are good at keeping in your head.
Yes, for my own events. Now, I will say in the past few years, when I have like a million work meetings, right, obviously that's on the calendar. But if I'm like, oh, Saturday night, I'm doing this. Oh, I have a doctor's appointment on Monday. Those types of things I've always been able to keep in my head. And as you said, that lately has not worked out so well for me. So yes, and I have been keeping a calendar and consulting it. Makes me feel very grown up checking my calendar.
Well, I mean, on the one hand, you could say, well, it's impressive to be able to keep it in your head. But on the other hand, that's just work that you have to do. It's taxing. Right. And I think, you know, now when more people now more than ever seem like they're feeling drained or overwhelmed, one way you can make your life feel easier is to externalize these kinds of things. And so instead of trying to keep it all running in your head, just to say, I'm going to commit to writing it down and using an external calendar. Now, I do this, and it's a little bit of a pain to be like, I cannot say one thing about my calendar unless I look. But I've really trained everybody in my life. Like, I'm not gonna agree to something on the spot. You can't say to me, are we free next Tuesday night? Or can I do this next Saturday? Because I'm like, I have to look. And it seems like more work when you feel yourself having to consult, but it means that I don't try to keep that stuff in my head. And I really do think that overall, it makes me feel lighter and freer and sort of less overwhelmed.
Yeah, and it's not just calendars, Gretchen. I mean, I have taken now, I used to, again, be convinced I could remember all my different passwords.
Yes, passwords.
I now write down a password on a sticky note and I put it on my computer. I have several different passwords stuck to my computer, because I got so tired of having to reset my password because I didn't remember it. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write this down, give my memory a break, like you're saying. And then I can look over and I'm like, oh, look, there's my password. So that has made me very happy.
But I have to break in and say what I know many listeners are saying, like, oh, my gosh. You should use a password keeper, an online password keeper.
I know.
I use one password. There are many good ones. Then you can share it. So you and Adam would know your Netflix password or whatever.
I know I should, Gretch. We even had this as a hack, but I have not yet adopted that particular technology. I need to, but at least I'm now writing them down on sticky notes.
Well, yes. I mean, because the idea is just get it at, like, don't have it be something that you have to be tracking in your head.
Yes.
And this can be things like keeping a list on your phone instead of trying to remember everything that you're getting from the grocery store. I mean, for one thing, you have less risk of the annoyance of, oh, I forgot that one thing. You know, I got 10 things, but I forgot the one. But it also, it just makes things easier. And so sometimes you can use mnemonics for this. For instance, so I think I mentioned this before. I'm so proud of this. So I have contact lenses. I have what's called monovision, which is not a good name for it. But anyway, it means that one eye is sort of overcorrected and one eye is undercorrected. That helps me with near and far vision. But one of them was -7 and one was -8.5. But which is which? Which is left? Which is right? So I started out noting it. And then I was like, let me get this out of my memory and into the world. Mm. And I did it through a mnemonic, which was -7 is like an L if you turn it upside down. So it's like an L for left. Now it actually is -6.5, but now I remember that 6.5 is closer to 7, and that's the L. So, but it means that I don't have to, like, think about it.
Remember,
because the mnemonic does it for me.
Yes, that's a great technique. And I will say, Rich, another area where it is so important not to rely on your memory is if you have a good thought.
Yes!
You know, like a good idea.
Yes!
And this is, I mean, I cannot tell you, even if there's two of us, if Sarah and I are talking, like, say, on a hike, and we come up with a good idea, even if we're both there and say, that's a great idea, let's remember that. And so many times, like, there's no way we'll forget this idea. We'll get back to our car. What was that idea? I have no idea. And it makes us so frustrated. Yeah. So now we stop and we put it into our phones.
Yeah.
Or if I wake up in the middle of the night, like with an idea about a story, I've discussed this on the podcast,
And a really thoughtful listener actually sent me a pad and a pen with a little flashlight. And I put it next to my bed so that even in the middle of the night, I can write it down. I do find great ideas in the middle of the night. Sometimes in the morning, you go, that wasn't such a great idea.
100%.
But at least you remember it and you're not haunted by
it. Yes.
And sometimes it is a great idea. Or you, in the middle of the night, write down something like, oh, I need to go to the pharmacy. Something, you know, a reminder.
Right, right.
But yes, there is no question that relying on one's memory is more taxing and leads to those really annoying bouts of regret that you didn't write something down.
Well, I mean, I had exactly the same thing. I woke up and I often will be like editing in my sleep. I'll like edit my dreams and sometimes I'll solve problems that have been annoying me. And I had one where I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, oh, I have the perfect word. I've been searching for the perfect word.
Oh my gosh.
I wrote it down. I felt such elation. I woke up in the morning and the word was enduring, which was a word that I had been considering. Like it was already on the list.
Wasn't a new word.
Yeah. So I was like, oh no, my dream was that I had solved the problem. It wasn't that I had actually solved the problem. But you're right. But the problem is if I hadn't written it down, then I would have felt this enormous regret thinking I solved this problem, but I just don't remember it, instead of realizing, oh, yeah, too bad.
That would have made you feel worse realizing it actually wasn't the right word.
Oh, absolutely. Because then I would have just spent all the time trying to recollect it.
What was the word? Yes. Yeah. Not realizing you actually hadn't come up with it.
Yeah.
Did you ever come up with that? Of course, now I have to ask. No. Did you ever come up with that word?
No.
You just restructured the sentence?
Yeah. Maybe I wrote around it. I do that sometimes. Just like change the whole sentence so that.
Oh, yeah. I do that, Gretch, because I don't know how to spell calendar. I can never remember. So I'll write anything not to have to write the word calendar. But anyway.
You could put schedule.
That's what I often do. Anyway, not relevant to our discussion.
Yeah, I can't spell khaki. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've all got those words.
Chinos. Yes. Let us know if you do try this at home and how giving your memory a break works for you. How did you give your memory a break? And what did you take a break from? It'll be very interesting to hear other people's experiences. Let us know on Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to the show notes. This is episode 391. So this is happiercast.com/391 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got a hack that can make your day more pleasant. But first, this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Elizabeth, we're a hack. Now, one mini theme that we have going is how you can sometimes make your life happier, healthier, more productive, more efficient, more creative by just changing the time of day in which you do an activity. I think for a lot of us, we sort of assume that certain activities happen at certain times, but depending on your individual schedule and also your individual energy rhythms, you might find it better to do something at a different time. Like I remember Tiffany Dufu was like, oh, I dance for exercise at midnight. Yes. And you're like,
yes,
that's unconventional.
Wouldn't have thought of that.
Right. But it works for her. So she changed the day part. And we have a listener who figured out another way to make her life happier by changing the time of day.
Yes. This comes from Amanda. She says, we have just come back from a trip to Croatia and Italy. The past few days in Italy particularly have been marked by a very strong heat wave. When we had to travel from Croatia to Italy, our flight was very early in the morning, so we saw ourselves having to wake up at 5-ish to be able to catch a bus to the airport at 6. To our surprise, as we walked down the streets of Croatia, the temperatures were pleasant and it was bright already since it is summertime in Europe. A light bulb moment hit me. Why not beat the heat hours? I am also currently pregnant about 6 months, so walking in such extreme heat would not make for a very pleasant experience. We decided that for each city, we would take one morning, wake up early about 6:30, and go out straight, no breakfast, just put some clothes on and walk about in the main places we had identified we wanted to cover. We were out and about from 6:45 until 10 a.m. and back in the hotel for a delicious breakfast and rest. We went for a late lunch and back again to rest until it became possible to go out again. Others could also couple the afternoon with an indoor activity like a museum. As a bonus, there was almost no one in the streets, which made for some amazing pictures. That tip might not be for everyone and would work mostly in summertime. I must add that I am not an early bird, but I wanted to feel comfortable walking and I knew I could rest later in the day. Yes, I would not think of getting up at 6 a.m. and walking around Croatia, but I love this idea.
Well, and if a lot of what you want to see of a city is you want to just look at the architecture and walk through the streets, then this is great. Now, if you want to go to stores and stuff, it's not good. But I think I can imagine that for a lot of people, just doing something very early in the day might really, you'd beat the heat, you'd beat the crowds, there would be no traffic or less traffic or traffic in different places.
Yes.
So it's just something to think about.
There's also just like a certain thing about seeing a city wake up for the
yes.
day, like the store owners
yes.
coming out, the cafes opening up. I love that in New York and yeah. Manhattan. I love walking around like as things open up for the day. So that has a certain pleasure in and of itself in terms of sort of getting to know the culture of a place.
Right. Or seeing people going to work or all the school children going to school.
Yes.
Like you're right. It's a different way of participating in the life of a city. So it's a great, great idea to think about. So thank you, Amanda.
Yes.
And now for a know yourself better question. Okay, right. We're coming up on hashtag Happier Labor Day. We're thinking about productivity. And so this is the know yourself better question of what kind of procrastinator are you? When you are inclined to procrastinate, what do you do with that time? There are many kinds.
Many, many kinds, yes.
So in my book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, which is all about creating outer order, I wrote about one kind of procrastinator, which I sometimes am, which is the procrasti-clearer, or somebody who does procrasti-cleaning. This is when you're like,
yes.
I can't sit down to work in such a messy office, so I have to reorganize my shelves. This is not like the 5-minute, I'm going to put the pens back in the pen cup. This is like, I need to rearrange the furniture.
Yes, the garage. I need to get to that garage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I just saw on Twitter last night, a writer said, you know, I have to write a scene, therefore my toilet has never been so clean.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So that's one thing. Now, Gretchen, you have a interesting, very probably unusual procrastination method, which is procrasti-creating.
Yes. I'd be curious to know if other people have this. So I have projects that I use when I'm playing hooky. So I have my main thing, which is my day job project. Like right now I'm writing a book about the five senses. But then I'll also have things that I'm working on for fun on the side that are sort of unofficial. So I'm working on my color pilgrimage. I'm working on my book of aphorisms. I'm working on a book that's called Scientific Oracle. And some of these will eventually turn into things. Like Outer Order, Inner Calm started out as a hooky book. I would procrastinate from the Four Tendencies book with that book. So in the end, it can be useful and it's certainly fun and stimulates my creativity, so I don't begrudge the time. But there are some times where I'm like, okay, I really want to work on the Book of Aphorisms, but I can't do that right now because I got to work on like my main project and I'm really just procrastinating from something that I don't feel like doing because it's more fun to work on my hooky book. So that's procrastinating.
And I think what I do is procrastiviewing, which a lot of other people do. Yeah. That's like, oh, I'm just going to watch one episode of something, and then I'm really going to buckle down. Like, then I'm going to nose to the grindstone, and then you, like, end up binging an entire season of something. Yeah, I'm planning to start writing at 10 a.m., and then it's, like, 6 p.m., and I'm like, oh, well, I saw a whole season of, you know, something, but I haven't written a word.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do that, or listening to podcasts also, procrastinating.
Yeah. Well, and adjacent to those is procrastinating, which is when, and I think it's even easier to get sort of sucked in and not realize how much time is passing, because you're like, scroll, and you're just going, I'll just do a few more. And you have that intermittent reinforcement where sometimes something will be really compelling and then you just keep going.
Yes. And that can also lead to, like, if I'm procrastinating, which I definitely am guilty of, I might see something and then say, oh, I should talk, you know, Sarah needs to know about this.
Yes.
And then I call Sarah and then I drag her into it and she'll do the same. I mean, that's a half hour conversation. So that is probably, I would think right now, the most common thing is the scrolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of us do that. And then Gretchen, you had another really interesting procrastinating thing.
Yeah. This one is a little harder to describe. And if anybody has a better name for it, I would love to hear it. But I would call this procrastinating. And procrastinating is a little bit more abstract, and it's when you put off doing something because you're waiting for someone else, someone who's going to tell you to go ahead or someone who's going to encourage you or guide you. So you might be saying, well, I'm going to start this once I get a mentor, or I can't start until I have a champion, or I need to wait for someone to invite me to do this or to give me permission to do this, or for someone to say like, oh, now go ahead, or encourage me like, oh, yes, you should go ahead and do that. And so in a way you're saying, well, I can't start until somebody else gives me the green light. And the fact is, they may not do that. No one may do that. They may not know that you're waiting for that. They may not see that as their role. This may just be a hope in your mind that such a person would appear. So it's a form of procrastinating because you're not saying, oh, I think I just need to get this started under my own power.
Well, the reason I'm so glad you named this is because I think a lot of people are in this state and probably don't realize they're procrastinating.
Yes.
So that's why I'm really glad you brought it up, because once you said it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so true. But I don't know if I would have immediately thought, being in that state, that I was procrastinating if I were in that state. So I think this is a good one to examine yourself and see if you might be doing this.
No, I think you're exactly right that this might be one of these ideas that is running almost under the surface.
Yeah.
And this is a very, you really want, you might want to surface these kinds of assumptions because they can really direct your behavior in a way that you wouldn't consciously intend, but you're just acting on an unspoken assumption. Now, I think one type of procrastination that people are very well aware of and that's very visible is procrastigaming. This is when you're playing video games or games on your phone, and that becomes your procrastination technique. That's very common and very obvious.
Yeah, Gretch, we all remember with our delete a soul-sucking app when I deleted Candy Crush. I will
twice.
Say now I play twice, and now I play Two Dots, and I should delete it, but I haven't. Maybe at the end of the summer.
But this is why Wordle was so good for you, is because it's self-limiting.
Yes.
Yeah.
One game a day, and I play it every day.
Right, right. And then a final kind of procrastination is procrastinating. So this is when you claim that you can't start. So you're like, well, and there's sort of certain rules apply. Like, well, I can't start that on a Tuesday, or I can't begin mid-month. Or one thing that I found myself procrastinating about is, because I'm such a morning person, I would say to myself, well, I can't work on that because that's very demanding and I can't do demanding work after lunch. Of course I can do demanding work after lunch. It might take a little bit more out of me, or I might need to make more of an effort to get in the zone. But just sort of saying like, well, I have to wait for perfect conditions, or I mean, of course, sometimes things really are not possible, they are not ripe, or you can't do it. But I think sometimes, again, these unspoken assumptions like, well, there's no point in starting this until X, Y, Z. Every day counts
as much. Examine that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, as always, Gretch, it's just good if we look at ourselves and see what are we doing. And if we know what we're doing that we don't want to be doing, we can counteract it and go in another direction. So this is fun. I really want to be a procrastinator, by the way. That's my goal in life.
But here's the thing to remember about procrastinating, procrastinating, some of these forms of procrastination. All of these activities can be good. They can be a relief. They can give you a little respite. That can be good. Some of these forms, you're actually getting other things done, like you're getting your house clean, or you're getting your office organized, or you're working on a creative project. But the fact is, working is one of the most dangerous forms of procrastination. And the fact that you're being productive in one way isn't helpful if it's taking you away from something that's a higher priority. So it's fine if you have time for both, but sometimes it starts getting in the way. Like you're like, I have to clean out my basement until I can write the annual report, but the basement's going to take 2 months and the annual report is due on Friday. It's like,
right, this is a problem.
It's a problem. So let us know what kind of procrastinator you are. If you have clever terms for it, we love a clever term, new forms that we haven't thought of. I think this is a really helpful know yourself better question, Elizabeth.
Yes. Like, I'm just thinking, we haven't even thought of the shopping one. I know a lot of people who procrastinate with online shopping. I guess that goes with scrolling.
Yeah, I think it's scrolling adjacent.
Scrolling adjacent. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Gretch, it is time for a listener question.
Yes. And this week's question comes from Elliot, and it is about the four tendencies, appropriately enough.
Yes, he says, my wife and I absolutely love your podcast and every single one of your books. It's been revelatory for making our lives happier.
Thank you, Elliot.
I recently took your quiz and found I was a rebel. This helped explain many of my previous struggles with academic studies and with previous employers. My question is, how can I tell a new boss or supervisor about my tendency so they can best work with me as an employee? I don't want to feel as if I'm coming across as presumptive or rude, though. I feel that being understood as a rebel will significantly help my job performance. As a side note, I work in architectural drafting, which requires a very high level of detail orientation and production level expectations. So, I mean, perfect question, Gretch. What should this rebel do?
Well, I think it's a great idea to try to communicate with your supervisor, your manager, or your coworkers about how you work best. Because obviously, it's to everybody's benefit if everyone tries to help everyone else get the kind of environment where they can thrive. But on the other hand, you don't want to seem too demanding that everything has to be done your way. So I think the way that I would do it is I would frame it as, I want to do my best work for you. And so I'm just going to explain how I do my best work. So you might say something like, you know, I find that I do my best work when I work independently. I don't do so well when I feel like I'm being very closely managed. But when I'm just allowed to do my work in my way, that's when I can really get it done at the highest level.
And I think maybe you should also add, like, keep me apprised of how that's working for you. So that you're not just laying it out, but you're also allowing the person to give you feedback
which is, we know, you know, Rebels may not do great with that, but I think you have to allow for that right. with a supervisor, especially.
Well, and I think also what that shows is if it's not working out, we can fix it. But then the implication right. is if it yes. is working out, we can continue it. So I think that serves exactly. the Rebel. The other thing I think also about setting expectations is you might say something like, look, I want you to know that I pride myself on doing excellent yeah. work. I always come through. But even if my way seems unconventional and might surprise you, rest assured, I have the chops to get this done. Because if you say, like, focus on performance, it will keep them focused on performance and kind of prepare them for the fact that you might work in an unconventional yes. way, which not all Rebels do, but a lot of Rebels will work in an unconventional way. Like, they might vanish. They might work yes. all night. They often just want to do their work in their own way, and they kind of like doing it in a way that's different from the way other people do. So again, it's just telling them to expect it, but to say, yes. you don't need to worry about it, because I'm yes. going to come through, get them yes. focused on how great your performance is. And also this idea of, like, I do my work in my way. That's how I do best. And also, as a Rebel, you always want to remind yourself, you're doing this because this is your identity. You're outstanding at your job. You want to impress people with how well you can do. You want to be reliable. Like, whatever your identity is as to work, you want to remind yourself, this is what you want. So sometimes you can get that feeling with the people who are telling you what to do, like, oh, I want to resist them. Just as much as you can, stay focused on your own aims for yourself and the kind of identity you want to put out into the world. And that tends to be make it easier for Rebels.
Yes. So, and from the supervisor's point of view, you don't know what tendency they are or how they encounter the world. Yes. So I do think it can reduce their anxiety yes. for sure to know that this is how you work, which is exactly what he's saying. Yes. That's why he wants it to be known. So I think it's great that Elliot's being proactive
yes.
and communicating, because as we all know, when we communicate, yes. things tend to go more smoothly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Great question, Elliot.
Yes. Okay, coming up, Gretchen has a repeat demerit, but first this break. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, as we both are, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Gretchen, we got Greenlight for Jack, and I love that it teaches him financial independence. Mm. He can earn money from us by doing chores and then getting money deposited into his Greenlight account. He can keep track of what he's spending.
Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/happier. That's greenlight.com/happier to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/happier. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Elizabeth, right this second, I am wearing my sweater from Quince. It's the Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweater in Everglade green. It feels so great, and it came in so many gorgeous colors. I love this green.
Yeah, Gretchen, I got the same sweater in white, and I absolutely love it. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen. Okay, Gretchen, it is time for demerits and gold stars. And this week, it's your turn for a demerit. What happened?
Okay, it's a repeat demerit. We were in Montana, family vacation, and I just didn't take enough photos. Mm. I just sort of forgot about it. I took maybe 10 photographs, and I really like to use photographs as a family diary. So I wish I had done much more of, like, this, instead of just general shots. And so there you go.
Well, yes, we all have been guilty of this particular demerit. And we always swear next time I'll take a million photos and then it happens again. But you did take some great photos. Yeah. So that's good.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Eliza and Eleanor to send me their photos. And so I can supplement. That, but they tend to take pictures of like eight pictures
scenery.
Of a frog. You know, I'm like, I don't really need that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Eliza, take us up. What's your gold star?
Well, Gretch, I am giving myself a gold star this week because you will remember that I was embarking on my Design Your Summer of Health,
yes.
and I kicked it off by getting my first shingles vaccine.
Yay.
It's a two-dose vaccine, and I just got my second dose.
Yay!
So I am done with the shingles vaccine. PSA, I've heard from many people who've had shingles that it's something you absolutely don't want to get, so... If you're eligible, do get the vaccine because you do not want to get shingles.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you gave yourself this gold star because I need to pester Jamie to get his vaccine because he hasn't had the shingles vaccine. And yeah, I mean, and he knows it. He knows that he does not want to get shingles.
Yes.
But it's just one of these things where you sort of have to get around to it. And so I'm going to put a post-it note in the kitchen or something.
Yes. So I did that.
Okay. Well, gold star, summer of health. You're crossing things off your list. That's excellent.
Yes.
So the resources for this week, do you want to get more tips and strategies for happiness and good habits in your inbox? If you do, you can sign up for the biweekly newsletter for tips and hacks at happiercast.com/preferences. We're adding a brand new feature to these emails this month, so sign up now if you want to check that out. Also, remember, if you would like free personalized signed book plates for yourself or to put in books as gifts, if you want to make a book more special, you can just email me at podcast@gretchenrubin.com, and I will send those off. Now, I can only send these to US and Canada, I'm sorry, because of mailing costs, and I do need your mailing address. These are actual physical things that I will send in the mail to you. So I need your physical mailing address and the names of the people that you would like to have a book plate for. It doesn't matter what book it's for because it doesn't say what book it's for. You don't have to include that, but the names of the people, how many you want, and the mailing address, and I will send those off. What are we reading? Elizabeth, what are you reading?
I am reading The Westing Game by Ellen Raskin.
Oh, I love that
book. Rereading, I should say. Yes. What are you reading?
I just started One Fine Day by Molly Panter Downs. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Give your memory a break. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter @GretchenRubin, and I'm @ElizabethCraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend, rate, review, and follow us. That really helps other people to discover the show.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Craft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
Employers. My question is, sorry, I have to yawn. I always yawn after I hike. Okay. Sorry.
From the Onward Project.
I don't know about you, but I'm always looking for ways for my son to get involved and give back in our local community. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Student Visionaries of the Year, a campaign by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the largest nonprofit organization dedicated to creating a world without blood cancers.
Student Visionaries of the Year is a 7-week philanthropic leadership development program for high school students. Participants form strong teams and fundraise in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This program is transformative. It not only helps students develop valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship, not to mention it looks great on college applications, but most importantly, is also a chance for them to engage in meaningful work within their their community and make a real impact on blood cancer patients and their families. You can learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or even nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.